cause I'm missing more than just your body. Oh, is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, I know that I let you down. Is it too late to say sorry?
Welcome back to On the Screens. Oh, I'm yelling again.
You are yelling.
Yeah.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
You don't even know the name of the
choir hymn.
You don't even know the name of the band, do you?
Of course, Disturbs. D-Boys.
Disturbs? D-Boys?
The Disturbs.
Oh, I forgot the name of the band. Is it Drowning something?
Drowning Pool?
Yeah. Which makes no fucking sense.
Wait, it wasn't Disturbed?
No.
Oh, shit.
That guy's still alive.
Oh, that's the monkey one. Ooh, ah!
Jesus. This is the weirdest fucking intro ever.
Anyway, talking about the best band of the early 2000s.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, who can forget Vertical Horizon? I was thinking about all those bands. Vertical Horizon.
Was it Vertical Horizon 90s, though?
No, the early 2000s. Sure? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And then there was Everything You Want.
You're
a God?
I don't remember. Yeah. Listen, don't quiz me on these bands.
I know those two songs.
And then there was that one about the girl who drowned the whole world.
Oh, there was a story of a girl.
There we go.
River and drowned the whole world, and she looks so sad in photographs. Something matter.
Yeah.
When she smiles.
Bom, bom, bom,
how many
bom,
days?
Bom.
It's nine days.
9 days? I always confuse them with Three Doors
I'm
Down.
I'm telling you, man. I need to sharpen up my 90s shit.
You do.
I know a lot, but there's still... I could learn a lot more.
Yeah, but you probably remember the good parts, not the shitty parts.
Well, I remember all shitty 90s music.
I remember one time I went into a warehouse that was... not a warehouse, but the warehouse, a store that was closing down at that time. And everything was on sale. They had those clearance sales. And all they had left was, I kid you not, maybe 50 copies of the Scott Stapp CD.
Oh,
nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted him. Poor Scott Stapp. Rest in peace. I don't think he's dead, but his career is.
Yep.
Welcome back to On the Screens. I said that
earlier. That was a long ass intro.
That was an intro. That's getting you, you know. It's, you know, we're going to talk about something interesting today. But first, Carlos, since last time, have you seen, did you say your name?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, it's Carlo.
Yeah, that's me.
Have you seen anything interesting? Game of Thrones is moving around.
It's Game of Thrones, of course. Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. You saw Dunkirk. You thought it was. You
said I thought it was good.
Possibly the best movie you've seen since The Lorax.
Yeah, The Lorax. That one. Oh, good lord. Yeah. Dunkirk.
Dunkirk. You want to say it with the accent?
Yeah. Dunkirk.
Dunkirk
is good.
Yeah.
I don't think it's great. It's good.
It's good. There you go. That's Carla's rating, which goes from. It sucks to it's good to I loved
it's
it.
It's great and then the far end is like
if
it
he really likes it, if he really loves it, he'll say I might buy it on DVD.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. DVD, not Blu-ray. Do you have a Blu-ray player?
I do not, but I own Blu-rays.
That is the strangest thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that's a disease somewhere.
Uh-huh. I need to buy a Blu-ray though.
You should. Before. Anyway, welcome back to On the Screens. And Carlo is getting caught up with technology. And we are back after our Comic-Con episode. Hopefully you all went to go through the trailers. If you didn't before watching that episode, why would you do that? We're back to talk about another full episode, not a small screen like last time. And we're going to do our episode where we apologize to some of the shining stars of the industry. We're sorry.
We're very sorry.
We were wrong. Sometimes we shit on things. Sometimes we say things that we don't. Really mean, and you know, at the end of it all, we make mistakes. We're human. One time, I bought tropical Skittles. I thought I was gonna hate them. That's the only Skittle
yeah,
I like
loving
now.
Them?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Why would you go with the normal ones? They had to be tropical flavor.
I just don't eat Skittles.
Well, then why I don't give your opinion?
Sorry. I'm trying to remember a food decision I made like that. I don't remember.
But anyway, we all make mistakes, and this is the episode we're going to apologize and say, you know, I'm sorry. We were wrong about you or
that's
it
right.
Or, you know,
something.
A child or animal actor, anything. So, yeah, these are people that we, you know, unjustifiably or maybe then justifiably wrote off, didn't care about, hated, dismissed, and now we can't. Seem to want to live in a world without them.
Very true.
So let's I don't remember who went last time, but I'll start off. Okay. Since mine's a little relevant in a little way. So there was a guy in the I guess I'm going to say in the mid-2000s. Didn't like him. I think like a lot of other men specifically, we wrote him off as nothing of but just a big, dull hunk of meat, you know?
That's
we weren't
true.
Crazy about him. We thought that he was unintelligent, just a big oaf, you know? Not a Super Bowl winning oaf, just a regular entertainment oaf.
Regular oaf.
And over time, he did little things here and there that kind of won us over. And at the end of the day, I can't imagine not seeing something he's in because he's so damn good. And that's going to be my boy, Channing Tatum. Yeah. How do you feel about Channing Tatum?
I feel about him, this, basically what you described was perfect. I didn't think much of him at all.
I mean,
but he's funny.
He's funny, yeah.
He's charismatic. He's
charismatic.
He just pulls it off. Like, whatever he's in, he just pulls it off. Like, he's great.
Mm-hmm. I think at first everyone just thought he was just...
a good-looking dude.
A good-looking nobody. A good-looking, just yeah, an empty shell of good looks.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, he was in She's the Man. Did you watch She's the Man?
No, I did not.
No, he wasn't the first Step Up. Did
oh,
you watch
no.
Step Up?
No.
They didn't, neither did I. He was in Step Up to the Streets. Did you know that?
I did not.
No.
There was a movie I saw that he was in. I think it's called Fight.
Fighting.
Fighting. I saw Fighting.
You saw Fighting?
Don't ask why. I saw Fighting. And he was whatever in that one. I didn't hate him in it, but I didn't love him in it. He was just a big, dumb guy beating up people.
Yeah. And then he did G.I. Joe. And then I think then we not only hated him because he's a pretty boy, but because it was in a shitty movie.
Yeah.
So we were mad that he was in a G.I. Joe movie and that it was him. And I think the hatred grew even bigger. Then he goes on to do Dear John, which I've never seen, but that's the kind of movie I would never want to see.
Yeah.
And he did a few other stuff here and there. Nothing that was crazy big. He did The Vow, which I also, again, never seen.
Never seen.
I'm sure the women to men ratio that screening was ridiculous.
Yeah.
But then he does 21 Jump Street. And my heart opened up to the possibility of Channing Tatum in my world.
Game over.
And it was magical. He did Magic Mike after that, but I did not watch Magic Mike. I'm sorry. I haven't seen Magic Mike yet.
People rave about it.
People say it was a good movie. I think didn't he write it too?
I'm not sure.
If he
wrote it, then I kind of hate him for being so damn talented.
Why? Because it's just too much?
He's a writer, too. It's like, God damn it, stop being perfect.
He did not write it. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that was a Steven Soderbergh movie.
Oh, shit.
Did you know that?
No.
I just didn't know that.
Well, what do you know?
He was in Don John for, I guess he had a bit part. I saw Don John, you know?
Eh.
Eh. Then he goes back to G.I. Joe, which I don't know. I'm sure he was a contract obligation. And, he, you know, but then he does This Is the End for a bit. Did you watch This Is the End?
That one is...
The James Franco...
Comedy?
Apocalypse.
Yeah.
He's in that. And then after that, he just starts doing stuff like The Lego Movie and then Foxcatcher and 22 Jump Street. The Book of Life.
Foxcatcher, I remember that.
Jupiter Ascending was kind of a stumble, but that wasn't his fault, guys. Wasn't his fault.
Valerian Wachowski's. Jr.
Then he's in The Hateful Eight.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And he's in Hail Caesar. He is fucking adorable in Hail Caesar. And he's also the voice of Superman in the Lego Batman movie.
See, fuck, man.
Gambit.
Stop that,
I mean, if he was Gambit, that would have been a big thing. But I think, did that fall apart?
It's still running around in pre-production hell.
And then he's Agent Tequila in Kingsman, you know? I can't hate the guy now. I'm sorry, Channing Tatum. I doubted you. And he's in Logan Lucky, which I haven't heard much about, but the cast looks also pretty, mm-hmm. pretty intense. So, Channing Tatum, I'm sorry. He, you know, I underestimated the talent of a big, muscular white guy.
That is good. That's a good one.
I mean, you know, I don't know. I was wrong. I was wrong about Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
So... who were you wrong about, first one?
I was wrong about... now, this guy I love in the show he was in. But when he branched off on his own, I was thinking uh-oh. Like, I don't know if you can carry the weight of a show on your own. You're charismatic. You're funny. You seem like a really nice dude. But just for you to carry a show on your own, I don't know if it's possible. And then I watched the first season, and I thought it was good. I thought there were some parts that were a little too hokey and corny and cheesy. So I was still very much in doubt as to whether or not, like, he could maybe not only repeat on the season itself and its success, but make it even better. And he did with his second season of his show. The second season of his show is so good. So, so good. It got nominated for a bunch of Emmys. And it's Aziz Ansari.
Now, good old Aziz.
I love Aziz in Parks and Rec, like everyone does. I love him in Observer and Report, like everyone does.
Of course.
But when Master of None came out, I watched it. I watched the first two episodes, and I fell asleep the first two episodes, and then I rewatched them. And the thing is, like, I kind of found it kind of a little too cheesy and hokey and corny for me. But as the season went along, it got better. And then when the season ended, I was like, okay, it's a good season. People were raving about it, saying it's amazing, it's great. I thought it was good. So when I saw the trailers for season two, I was like, oh, okay, wow, okay. It's getting season two. I'll check it out. And then season two, from like start to finish, was just great. It was funny. It was heartwarming. It was charming. It was everything that Aziz is as a person. It's just on screen. And everyone that's in it is great. Like, there's a couple of episodes where he kind of goes off a beaten path, a different path, into like, basically, there's one episode that's basically shows like people of New York and their lives, and it's not even main characters, it's just random characters and what they're doing on a Friday night, Saturday night. It's just so interesting. And then there's another episode where like his friend who's a lesbian, it goes back to like when her mom was first finding out that she was a lesbian and how uncomfortable it was. And it was just like really well done, and it was written like so smart. It was just, they handled it perfectly. And just that season two is perfect. I think Master of None season two is just perfect. I had my gripes with season one, but season two is just perfection. And I really hope that I'm sure he's going to continue. I think he got renewed for a third season, but it just shows how talented Aziz Ansari is. And so
he also writes some of it?
Yeah. Oh. And I doubted him. Like, I loved him in Parks and Rec, but for him to carry a show on his own, especially on Netflix, where there's so much other stuff to watch, so much competition. But he, again, after the first season where I thought it was good, he blew me away with season two. Season two it's great. It's a great season. It's so solid. And it's like 10 episodes, and it's just all of it's so great.
Is it a half-hour show?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's so good. But yeah, I'm sorry, Aziz, for doubting you and your abilities. And for Master of None, I'm sorry for doubting it as a show. First off, season two blew me away, and I can't wait for the third season.
Oh, all right, Aziz Ansari. That's a good one. It makes me want to watch Master of None now.
Have you seen the first season?
No.
No?
I haven't seen it. Okay. No. It's too much TV. Too much TV, folks. But I want to watch all of it. Too much TV and I still don't have a job. So my person, that's someone who I have a love-hate relationship with. There are moments where we're flying high, enjoying life together, and other times when, you know what, just don't talk to me. But for the overall, even when he stumbles, I can't be mad at the guy, because I know deep down inside, maybe it wasn't his fault. And so far, he's shown to be a great-A actor, maybe underrated a little bit.
Excuse me.
But he is definitely one of those guys who I wish was used more as in his ability to act than just who he is and how he looks. Again, another kind of like a pretty boy, you know, that's who's, his appeal was that, I think, mm-hmm. for a little bit. And that's going to be my boy Rocket Raccoon, Bradley Cooper. He was in a lot of things before he kind of really blew up, but I was never a fan of him until I saw The Hangover. And I am a fan of the first two-thirds of The Hangover. Act 1 and Act 2 are great. The third act, I could do without. But he's great. I loved him. He plays a great straight man. He plays, you know, he's kind of an asshole, but he's a good asshole. And that's what he does best. He's the most believable asshole I've seen in a long time. I can understand that he is that kind of dude in real life, even though he's probably not, but I feel like he is that dude when he does it so well. But then he does stuff like Valentine's Day, and I'm like, oh, Bradley, you don't need to be doing this. You're funnier than this. You're better than this. Then he does the A-Team, and it's like, oh, Bradley again.
Oh, that was a stinker.
Yeah, no one even remembers that. He did Limitless, which went on to become a TV show. I had no idea. But also didn't really catch on. Mm-hmm. Then he goes back to The Hangover Part 2, which is a huge fucking deal. I haven't seen it because I just knew it wasn't going to be as good as the first mm-hmm. two-thirds of The Hangover. And then he does a few little artsy stuff. He was in The Place Beyond the Pines. I never saw that movie.
I heard it was good.
But then he does that big one, Silver Linings Playbook, with
Jennifer Lawrence.
Jennifer Lawrence. Almost said Jennifer Garner. Jennifer Lawrence. And I think Silver Linings Playbook is a good movie. I do not think it was the best film of the year, but I think it's a good movie, and he is great in it. I think he is fantastic in it. But I don't think it's the masterpiece some people make it out to be, but he is great. I think that's the first time I saw him and I was like, you know what, this dude can act really good in a serious role that's challenging. And then he goes and does The Hangover Part 3 after Silver Linings Playbook. Lord. So at that point, I'm just
like,
did
you watch that one?
No, okay. No, I'm not gonna.
John
no, I didn't.
Goodman's good in that one.
He's John Goodman's in it,
yeah.
Then I might watch it.
He's like the villain. He's oh, so he good. Is, yeah, he's good.
Oh man. My god, maybe I have to watch it now.
So good,
but then he does. So he has this flip-flop relationship with roles. Then he does American Hustle, which I fucking love American Hustle. I think American Hustle is such a good movie. I forgot what was up that year, but I loved American Hustle to win. I don't think it won. I don't think it won Best Picture. Then he does Rocket Raccoon in 2014 as Guardians. And he literally made a talking raccoon believable. And I think that's because his interpretation of Rocket is so damn good. It's so snarky and believable, but also very sad and like warm, but also just so, it's so funny and depressing and fun at the same time. And I don't think any voice actor could have just done that the way he did. Someone could have just overplayed it. Someone could have made it a real asshole, but Rocket is not an asshole. He's definitely a
super. There was an interview where, he talked about he went to James Gunn first and he had a voice for Rocket and it was bad.
Oh.
Like there was, I guess he had an initial voice that he wanted to do for Rocket. I forgot what it was. It was molded after someone. I think it was like an old entertainer or something like that. Uh-huh. And James Gunn like heard it and he kind of just scrapped it. And I think after there was like a hybrid of like two different people. And that's the one that we hear.
That's the one.
Yeah, I forgot who it was. I want to track down that interview because I think there was like a first voice that they weren't digging.
I want to hear that, and that's credited James Gunn to be able to be like, nah, we're cool with takes balls to say no to an A-list actor. But I mean, he nailed Rocket. Rocket is now has his own distinct voice that is so.
One part I love is just like when Groot's sacrificing himself and he runs up to Groot and he goes, why are you doing this? And you hear like his voice crack. I was just like, that's good
acting. And it's such a sad moment. And like, you feel Rocket's pain when he gets really bummed out about who he is. I feel like you feel Rocket's pain. That's all just because.
Have you seen any of the footage of him doing the voiceover?
No.
How animated he is?
No.
You'll love him even more.
Oh, I got to watch it.
You'll love Bradley Cooper even more.
I really need to watch this.
You just see him get into it and he just like, oh, it's so great. I saw like maybe 10 seconds of it. They played it. So good.
This makes me just like him even more. See, so he does Rocket, and it's like it's honestly life-changing to see Rocket Raccoon come to life. Then he does American Sniper. And let's just say American Sniper.
With the fake baby.
With the fake baby. And let's just say, Midwestern Bradley Cooper. Not my favorite Bradley Cooper. Then he does Aloha, which had its own issues. And then he kind of steps back a little and does Burnt, Wet Hot, American Summer, that reunion. Then he does Joy. And at this point, I'm like, okay, Bradley Cooper, you can act, but you're kind of sticking to familiar territory here. And then
that's all David O. Russell, right?
David O. Russell, yeah. He did War Dogs. I didn't see War Dogs, but he does.
I saw it.
Did you like it?
It's okay.
It's another episode, but
he's a nice villain.
He's a villain.
He's a nice villain.
Okay. Is it another episode? But we got to talk about Miles Teller's career a little bit.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But then
I don't know if we could post a 10-minute episode.
But then he does Rocket again, and he's Rocket forever now. And you know, I think he's the kind of guy who is recognized for being a good actor, but hasn't been given the best roles consistently.
You know what sucks though? Like not about him specifically, but it's just like I always tell you about my friend that wants to get into voiceover acting.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like it's so hard when like not only do A-list actors are great on screen like as themselves, mm-hmm. but when they could be a great voiceover, it's like
yeah, it's hard.
It fucking takes over that market. It's like, what the fuck?
And let's say you can fucking sing. Like, who made you?
There was an animated movie. I read that some of the voices for the kids, they got Angelina Jolie's kids.
Just because they're Angelina Jolie's kids?
They got them as voiceovers for a movie. I need to read into it again. But it was like an animated movie where they had like, I think it was like, not main characters, I think, but like background characters. Yeah. And they like picked like a couple of her adoptive kids to do the voiceover. And it's like, shit, man. It's like, what if there's like a 9-year-old out there who can just kill it as a voiceover?
Their butt. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just that part, it's unfair. But like, you get it. Once you see like Rocket and shit like that, it's like you get, God, like these people are fucking like dual threats, and it's crazy.
The industry is a bitch.
Yeah,
someone hire me.
Hire me too.
So I think Bradley Cooper's one of those guys who's underrated for the real talent that is just like he's a great actor.
Yeah,
I think maybe he was chasing the wrong car for a while, but I think he needs to get into some more of those roles that really let him like just kind of explode out. American Sniper to me was too. I don't know, just too subdued, you know. For a war movie, I don't, you know, it was intense, but I don't know. I want more Rocket Bradley Cooper in terms of like just emotion.
You want more Rocket and American Sniper.
Can we just dub Rocket's voice into American Sniper?
Oh my gosh.
B Coop, that's going to be my other guy. So yeah. So who's your next? I'm sorry.
My next, I'm sorry, goes to. I'm a little bit distracted right now. Sorry. Mm-hmm. This guy. You basically called it, and you said he was going to be good.
I did. Oh.
You said he was going to be good.
I'm usually terrible at this.
And I was just like, no, and you're like, no, he's going to be good. Watch, just watch. And he's the only thing I liked about this movie.
Ooh.
And he's like a perfect embodiment of this character, I think. And it's he's been making headlines recently for him not being him anymore. Can you guess it?
No.
It's Ben Affleck as
Batman. Oh shit. Yeah, yeah, I've been on train
Remember?
Ben for
Remember?
A while.
You were the one that said Ben Affleck was going to be a good Batman, and I had my fucking doubts, and Batman vs Superman was complete and utter shit, but
he's a great
good Batman. He plays a strong brute intimidating Batman and then a suave debonair Bruce Wayne, and he nails both of them. Where like Christian Bale, I liked his Bruce Wayne and I liked his Batman, but I don't think they were anywhere close to being like either of them perfect or just above average. They were just very okay.
Yeah. You know what I didn't like about Bale's Bruce Wayne is that he put on this facade of being like a fun party animal.
And he's not.
And to me, Bruce Wayne, he's a playboy in a sense, but he's not a fucking goofball like he is in Dark Knight. And Bruce Wayne just seems like a rich asshole,
which I
think is Bruce Wayne. It's just a rich asshole.
Yeah.
And he nailed it. Like I'm intimidated of him as Bruce Wayne because he just seems powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I loved about it. Like even the fucking, just him as Batman, just like, I don't like his character because branding people is just stupid to me. But like, just when he's just like a brute force. Like you just see him in the suit, and he's like, fuck! Like you don't want to fuck with that guy. Like
no,
because like the worst thing I can honestly say about the Nolan Batman films is the suit is the ugliest suit out of any Batman films I've seen.
They went uber tactical.
Yeah,
and it looks stupid. You look like a weird doll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just dumb, but this one looks cool, and he does play it both well. Like he plays both of them well, and you're right, he's an asshole.
He's an asshole.
Because remember in the Justice League trailer, one thing that Barry Allen asked him was like, "What's your superpower?" And he looks at him, he's like, "I'm rich."
Yeah,
he's like, that's such an asshole thing to say, and it's great. But like, Yeah, Ben Affleck just nailed it. He nailed it, and it was great. And you know, I think he addressed the rumors at Comic-Con. I think that's what I read.
That's where he said that he will be Batman.
But then at the same time, they talked about Flash movie being Flashpoint, and they said that's an easy way to weasel Ben out of the being Batman.
Yeah, if you read the comics, that one kind of fucks up with the world. So
yeah, so I mean, you never know. It's just. You never know. They say one thing, and then what happens in a couple months now? But he's honestly a good Batman. Yeah, I really liked him, and I was wrong. I'm sorry, Ben Affleck. I was very wrong. Like, it was just surprising. Now, Batman vs Superman is a shit film, but I can honestly say he was enjoyable in it. I enjoyed his Batman.
I think I've been on the Bat train for a while now.
Honestly, Ben train. With him and Matt Reeves as writing and directing. Yeah. I can't wait for the Batman.
Yeah, I wonder if at some point, this is just me speculating. I have no inside knowledge because I'm a nobody. He didn't want to be involved with that with the new Batman process. Yeah. But when you get someone like Matt Reeves, just give him a chance.
Yeah,
and look what he's done.
And they toss Ben's script.
Yeah, I mean, so to me, that's the biggest thing when they toss his script. But it's like, just give Matt Reeves a chance.
Yeah, I just hope. Well, I don't know. See, that's the thing. I want to find out if. The whole Deathstroke thing with Joe Manganiello is still part of it. Because I don't know if that was part of Ben's script and they tossed it.
I have not heard anything about Joe and Batman since then. So who knows? But, I mean, I was stoked to see him, too.
Because fucking Josh Gad was teasing that he was Penguin or teasing that he could be Penguin.
I think he was lobbying to be Penguin.
And that's horse shit.
I know. You're a big anti-Gad. Anti-Gadder.
Yeah, Gad, dude.
Yeah.
God, I almost vomited watching the Last Jedi panel. Like, I don't want to watch that guy. But, like, the Deathstroke thing I was cool with. Just, I have confidence in Reeves and a Batman Ben Affleck. So, yeah. I'm sorry, Ben Affleck.
Sorry, Ben Affleck. Not me, though. I was on the train for a long time since Pearl Harbor. That's a good one. Ben Affleck has gotten a lot of shit over the years for maybe who he's been off the screens.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got... Okay, I mean, I guess as an actor, yeah. But you got Argo, you got fucking
The Town.
I didn't watch Gone Baby Gone. I mean, but him and Gone Girl. Gone Girl is a banger.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a good one. Ben Affleck, underrated, overrated at the same time. So my next one is another guy. You know, I realize that it's hard for me to think of a woman because I think.
I finally got one. I was thinking of it because
you got
one.
I don't
know, you texted saying I'm thinking of a girl. I was like, "Fuck!" I was thinking of a director for the fourth one, but I already had a director. When I want to put two directors, okay. So I had to change it up. So I thought of a girl finally.
When I think of women, I usually think of women that maybe disappointed me going forward, but none that I was like, "Oh, they suck," and they turned it around. You know, so that was hard for me. I don't know if I can still come up with one, because so far. No one. I haven't dismissed anyone who won me over. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So my next one is going to be someone who again had a different narrative for a while, and it changed, and I think that's when I fell in love with them. And that's going to be Mr. Triple All Right. Oh, that sounds like triple alt-right.
Don't say it like that.
If you say it three times, Rush Limbaugh shows up in your bathroom.
Jesus Christ.
And that's going to be my boy, Matthew McConaughey. He was in a lot of stuff before he was that dude, Matthew McConaughey. But when The Wedding Planner was a hit, that kind of brought
what
out...
What year was that?
2001.
That was the same year he was in Reign of Fire.
2002's Reign of Fire.
Oh, fuck. Whatever.
Probably same close shit. To each other, though. But
I remember his Reign of Fire guy.
Isn't Bailing Reign of Fire?
Yeah, he is.
If you I think
Gerard Butler's in Reign of Fire, too.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. He's Bale's buddy.
If you go to the... Holy crap, where is it? If you go to the... Where is it? If you go to the Disney Studio Tour... In Paris, there's a long way, I know. They have a Reign of Fire segment in their backlot tour.
Really?
Just think about
that. It's very interesting.
There's a Reign of Fire backlot like show in Disneyland Paris. A lot of things that don't go together, yet somehow exist.
He's such an over-the-top badass in Reign of Fire. I love it because when he comes in with his crew and his tanks and stuff like that, and then the Bale's like, who's that? And Gerard Butler's like, the only thing worse than dragons, Americans. That's such a great line. And he's such like a fucking brutish marine, like, oorah type of dragon killer. It's just so over the top. Like, he basically eats cigars. Like, you see him hosting his... He's never smoking it. He just has it in his mouth and it's like he's chewing it. He's probably chewing consuming it.
Cigars are scarce in that world. That's probably why.
Good old Matthew McConaughey.
But he does that. Then he does Frailty, which I watched Frailty. I liked Frailty a lot. Rain of Fire. But it was kind of like... It's kind of flew under the radar there. Mm-hmm. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which I think was a big deal for a long time. Then he does Sahara, which was, oh, I think was a huge
2009
flop.
2005. Fuck, I'm way off.
You're way off. Then he does Two for the Money.
That was the one with Matt Money Smith. No, was it Garmin? Ralph Garmin.
Ralph Garmin.
Ralph
was,
Garmin was in it and they cut him.
Yeah.
They cut him out with Al Pacino.
With Al Pacino. Then he does Failure to Launch.
Oh, that's the one with Sarah Jessica Parker. And right? He's like a romantic comedy. God, I know my... Yeah. I don't know why.
That's weird.
That's scary.
I'm going to show you the postage for those two movies. Tell me which one is which. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Failure to Launch.
That's horrible.
That's the same pose for two movies that are like 4 years apart. Then he does Fool's Gold, which I have no recollection of.
I remember that.
But I think it was also kind of romantic comedy-ish. Then he does We Are Marshall, which every football coach and every high school in America made everyone watch.
Recently.
Another one?
The second movie he did was about centered around gold.
Maybe he's like an old prospector soul.
Yeah.
So then he does Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. He just can't get away from that back-to-back pose.
Oh, God, that's with Jennifer Garner and Emma Stone.
Right? Then he does The Lincoln Lawyer, which I heard was a really good movie, but I never saw The Lincoln Lawyer.
Okay. I heard it was good, too.
Right? Then he's in Eastbound and Down for a few episodes, which I love Eastbound and Down.
Shit.
Then he goes...
I don't remember what he was doing.
He does Mud. And then Magic Mike. Again, I haven't seen Magic Mike. But he starts turning it around a little bit. Wolf of Wall Street, Dallas Buyers Club. He starts... And then, to me, what I think is one of the most important roles in TV acting ever is Rust Cole in True Detective.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, that
I fucking love him
like,
in there.
Without a doubt, I think one of the most well-acted roles.
Yeah.
It is so good. It's like listening to a creepy story like that is just told the best way.
Yeah.
He's perfect. He's perfect as Detective Rust Cole. And it sucks that we'll never see that again if they never make season 3.
Well, they are.
But with them?
Not with them. Mahershala.
Who?
Mahershala Ali.
Oh, really?
From Moonlight, they casted him.
Oh, they announced it?
Yeah. He's in it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's why I'm on board now.
I'm on board now. Wait, who's directing?
True Detective 2 sucked ass, but...
Is it still going to be...
I'm not sure.
That's a...
I don't know what they're doing with Nick, because they ended up hating him after the second season.
That's a damn good casting.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder how that's going to work out. But I love that casting already. He does Interstellar, and we have, you know, varying opinions about Interstellar. I like Interstellar for the most part. Yeah. It's a good movie. I like that they tackle two things that I love, which is like sci-fi and kind of like space travel. What are we in this world? What is life type of thing? So I like Interstellar. I thought we'd all be clamoring to get our own little, what's the robot's name? Case. Our own little case robot that runs around, but no. No. Then he does Free State of Jones, which I never saw.
Oh, no, yeah, it's like the Civil War.
But then
War
he
one.
Goes, he does, and does Kubo and the Two Strings, and I love Kubo and the Two Strings. Like, he was Beetle.
He was Beetle. Okay.
He's so
again, see, good. Damn it, voiceovers, jobs being stolen.
And then, he did do a movie called Gold.
Yeah, with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, I love him on The Nationals.
Jesus Christ.
Then he's going to be in Dark Tower, which looks interesting. Looks like he's, like, him as a villain looks super fun. With next to Idris Elba, that'll be a blast to watch, I think. I want him to chew some scenery. But, you know, I think early on I didn't give him a chance. I thought he was too pretty, banked on those rom-coms too much. And he's a good actor. He is just a powerhouse actor. And I hope he does more stuff. And, you know, in a weird way, I think I would love nothing more but to see him in the Marvel Universe. God, he'd make such a good villain. I mean... he has to be somebody.
I'm trying to think of something.
He could be somebody in there.
Be the next J. Jonah Jameson.
Oh, that'd be a good casting. I, you know, change it a little bit. Change it to like a more like a, you know,
with like a, more like a tech blog or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you know, but what I mean? But he seems like a,
because newspapers are dying.
He can be the, wanna, he if, can be a great tech
you,
bro.
If you want to do like a more modern-esque Spider-Man, you can't do newspapers because they're dying. No. Just make them be like a tech blog.
You got to do like a Gawker type of website.
Dude, that'd be perfect. Marvel, listen. To
Marvel,
me.
Listen to us. Get
bastards.
Get what does get Matthew McConaughey's J. Jonah Jameson.
But yeah, he'd be interesting.
He'd be a great J. Jonah in a new Spider-Man world.
Of course, J.K. Simmons is the one and only.
Without a doubt, he is
so good in that
the
too.
Perfect
bastard.
Classic J. Jonah. But Matthew McConaughey is a tech bro J. Jonah. Perfect.
He needs to do something in Marvel.
I think he's, you know, he's bound to be in that universe somewhere because he's amazing. So I'm sorry, Matthew McConaughey. I know you're trying to sell me a Lincoln. I can't afford one, but I'm sorry anyway.
Good old Lincoln. You know,
yeah. That's my third one. Who do you have next?
Okay, my third one, I'll get right to the point, is George Miller.
But he made Happy Feet and Babe, Pig in the City.
No, but when I saw him come out with Mad Max, I'm like, God damn it, don't bring this garbage back into our lives.
Cause is it because he was old or because you don't like Mad Max?
The Mad Max, like that's like a B movie in the 80s that's like maybe a dozen people really love. Like, did you ever like the Mad Max ones?
No, I was never a huge fan of Mad Max.
Yeah.
I knew it existed. I think I saw maybe
exactly.
the first one.
That's why. Like,
but even as a kid, I was like, why is that guy wearing a thong in the desert?
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. I was never, I mean, that. I
and
think
that's why when he brought it back, I'm like, oh, good Lord. Like, what are you doing? Don't do this. And then we all watched it mm-hmm. and realized how fucking badass it was. And... you know, a lot of people say he should have won Best Director for that.
Who won that year?
I have no idea.
But yeah,
great research that we did.
He should have won that year. Yeah. He is.
It won a bunch of technical stuff. Like it
of
like sweeped it. I think it had like 6 or 7 technical awards. But just, it's so good, and it's just, you know, I counted him out early because I'm like, it's an old man bringing an old franchise that almost no one wants back into the forefront. And
yeah, nobody was clamoring for a Mad Max.
Yeah, and now they're talking about making a Furiosa movie. I don't know if it's him, but I'm all on board if they bring Charlize Theron back. But yeah, I just had my doubts first off about that. And then watching Mad Max, it was just like, that thing fucking blew my mind. And it's just something to behold at watching that movie. I still don't know how he... I don't know. There's some directing jobs, and you look at the movie, and you're just like, how the fuck did they do it? Because it's so, like, seamless and perfect, like, the scenes, like, the action scenes and just everything, the car chases, everything. And I doubted him. I doubted him right from the very beginning because I was just thinking, man, like, you know, this is the age of reboots and sequels and, you know, stuff like that. And I thought that was an unnecessary reboot, and I was wrong. George Miller killed it, and he's great. He's a great director, and he probably should have won that year. So I'm sorry, George Miller. I love you, you old man. Please make the Furiosa movie. I would love to see that.
Yeah, and that year he lost to Alejandro González Iñárritu for
yeah,
The
Revenant. Yeah, he should have won. He should have won. He should have won. And he should have won.
Then again... I know technically it's not as intense to direct, but it's up against Spotlight. Spotlight lost. Spotlight is a fucking masterpiece.
Oh, wait, Spotlight won Best Picture.
Yeah, but not Best Director.
No. Yeah.
And, I mean, that year is The Revenant, Spotlight, Mad Max, Room, and The Big Short.
Fucking Tom Hardy. Revenant and in Mad Max.
He is. But, yeah, George Miller is definitely... I mean, this is a guy who has made both... Mad Max and Happy Feet movies.
See that again. See, I'm sorry again for showing how fucking cutesy you could be and how fucking hardcore you could be.
And Bay, he was a producer on Bay Pig in the City. Actually, no, he might have directed that too. Let me double check on that here. Yeah, director of Bay Pig in the City. Come on,
can we get like a Happy Feet Fury Road?
Yo,
like
yeah.
a bunch of penguins following in Morton Joe.
You know, and with like the ice caps melting.
Yeah,
that's the perfect setting.
Yeah,
his
Aqua Cola.
You know, Happy Feet Fury Road.
A new source of Aqua Cola. All the ice packs.
There you go.
Oh my God! Oh, Morton Joe summoning a bunch of penguins. God. I would pay to see that.
Let's do this. Imperator Babe.
Imperator Babe.
Oh.
That'd be great.
George Miller, he is a national treasure. Oh, God. Do I have another person to talk about? I can't, you know, I don't know who else.
Is there a movie that was going to be shit and you ended up being good? And maybe you want to say sorry to everyone in it?
Everyone in it?
No, I don't know.
Jeez. I don't know. I can't think of one that comes to my mind where I'm like, oh, this is going to be a piece of shit. No, you know what? Here I go. I'm sorry. And my fiance is going to probably scream or laugh at me or who knows what. I'm sorry to Hocus Pocus. I always dismissed it as a kid as a stupid movie because it was about three witches being goofy.
Okay.
Have you seen Hocus Pocus?
No, I have not.
With Bette Midler and then...
No.
From Sex and the City.
No. Got
her name. How can I forget her name? What's her name?
Sarah Jessica Parker?
There we go.
She's in it?
Yeah, she's like the thin one. Okay. I mean, that's a sound like an asshole.
Damn. Okay, she's continue. Like
but as a kid, I remember that movie like being a big deal with like kids, and I never watched it because I didn't want to watch a movie about three witches being wacky. I didn't like that. I'm not a fan of slapstick, and I'm probably to my detriment. You know, I can't appreciate good slapstick, but I'm not a fan of slapstick. And I thought it was slapstick, and then... She dragged me to watch it at the El Capitan Theater last year. And it was funny. And also, it's strangely dark. And it reminds me of how dark kids' movies used to be sometimes.
There's a lot of people our age there?
I think it was everyone our age.
Nice.
I don't think there were, like, too many children. It was just...
No, because the last big Halloween Disney movie that a lot of children liked was, like, Halloween Town or something like that. That's one of those Disney Channel original movies. I think that one was big too, but
Halloween Town.
Yeah, that was more like for like the kid people that are like going into their 20s now.
The TV
that was like theirs.
The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody generation.
Oh, good lord! Yeah.
Yeah. So Hocus Pocus surprised me into how fun it was, how dark it was at times. Like I think they make a point of they need to kill someone or sacrifice someone because they're a virgin. And I'm like, whoa! Isn't this a kids' movie? But it gets dark. I mean, it's like literally I think the way to get rid of him is to kill him or to some degree. But it's dark. But it's also really fun and kind of scary at times. And I didn't give it a chance, and I watched it. And I get it now. I get the love for Hocus Pocus.
You love it?
It's still, you know, it's like the tail end of those years where you could get away with a lot in a kid's movie. Not anymore. You can't really do much in a kid's movie. And if you do, the kids don't look like kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a curveball right there.
Yeah, Hocus Pocus surprised me. I'm sorry, Hocus Pocus. I'm sorry, Disney live action in the 90s. You produced some crap, but hey, Hocus Pocus was good. Angels in the Outfield.
I still love you, Disney, for Disney Channel original movies that I have a soft spot for.
Why, are you a big Descendants fan?
No.
Okay.
I'm talking about Brink. I'm talking about Johnny Tsunami.
Was that a Disney movie?
Those are Disney Channel original movies.
I thought that was a movie.
Huh?
I thought that was a movie.
Those are Disney Channel movies.
I bet you I saw that like on VHS, like sitting on a video store.
Brink and Johnny Tsunami.
I don't even know what Brink is.
Those are not bad. Like they were cool. I was like, there's a lot of bullshit ones are called like there's one called Smart House is Stupid.
Bunch Smart of other... House is Stupid?
No.
Okay.
It's called Smart House.
I thought that was a play on the title. Smart House is stupid. Tim, no. Smart House, the stupidest man in America.
Oh my God! Yeah, I enjoy Brink and Johnny Tsunami.
Oh, I you know
old school shit, that stuff.
It sounds like talking about like '90s rap, some of that old school shit,
old stuff.
Wow, yeah, So Hocus Pocus. I'm sorry, I thought you were just a nostalgia.
That's the part. Remember, like I told you that me and Brian used to joke about it when someone would go coo.
Yes, you guys.
And they would go whoop. That's from Johnny Tsunami.
You guys had your
little call inside
there. Call and response thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys could have been drug dealers. No one would have known.
Hell yes.
So I'm sorry, Hocus Pocus. What about you? Is there a movie?
There's
or something?
A fourth because I remember you telling me like you're thinking about someone else, like trying to think of.
I was trying to think of a woman, and I couldn't think of a woman.
And I was like, shit, maybe I should do that too. And I started to think about one, and then one just popped into my head because. I had doubts about this person as I was watching this show. And I'm talking about Evan Rachel Wood in Westworld.
Oh, that's a good one.
As Dolores. Now, I thought Dolores, through the first half of the show, was a very two damsels in distress. And I wasn't digging it. And I wasn't digging her. And I thought, okay, everyone else is interesting but her. Bernard was interesting. Dr. Ford was interesting. The Man in Black was interesting. Maeve was interesting. Like, all the other characters were interesting, but Dolores wasn't interesting to me. The second half of the season, she just was the best part of Westworld to me.
Yeah.
She was so pivotal in everything that was going on. She ended up being Wyatt. Spoiler alert to anyone who hasn't watched it. She ended up being that person, Wyatt, who everyone was trying to figure out who it was. It was ended up being her. She's the one that basically is like Bernard's like project, and the one that was supposed to like propel the hosts into this new level of thought and consciousness. And just how it ended with her walking them to Teddy saying, "This world belongs to us, not them." That was so powerful and just so great. And honestly, like, I was becoming frustrated with that character halfway in, because I'm like, she's too damsel in distress. She's too, like, she's not doing anything. And now I think she's the most important part of that show. She's the most important character in that show to me now. And I was so happy that I was wrong, because like Evan Rachel Wood just killed it in the rest of, in Westworld. She's great as like a fair lady, just like, you know, as Dolores. But then when she clicks it to like Wyatt, when she clicks it to like being the leader of this rebellion against, you know, the board and anyone trying to take advantage of the hosts, she just becomes this powerful figure, and it's so great. And then when I watch the Westworld trailer and I see her on the horse and I see her basically blasting someone with a shotgun, it brought such a smile to my face, thinking like she's going to go right back just being a badass. And I loved it. And I doubted her the first half of the season. I wasn't digging her at all. And I was so wrong. So I'm sorry, Rachel Wood, Evan Rachel Wood, for Dolores as a character, and just it proved me wrong. Like, she's so great. Like, I still like the Man in Black is probably still my favorite character, because I just love his how invested he is in the whole world as a whole. But she's probably up there too. She's probably tied with him, because it's just I was wrong about her. I was wrong. Like, she blew me away the second half, and just the way it ended, it was just perfect. And I love Dolores. I love her now. Before, nothing, but now I love
you
that.
You feel
character.
Something. Your cold heart. It's funny how in Westworld, both it seems whenever the men found out, like, just the truth of that world, they couldn't handle it. Bernard just kind of fucking glitches. He just couldn't handle it being the host.
Yeah.
And the Men in Black is just so frustrated about the maze not being for him.
Yeah.
But Maeve and Dolores, they fucking took advantage of it, and now they're in charge.
Yeah.
Because they took that enlightenment in a different direction than the men did. The men were just like, huh, what the fuck do we
what's
do?
What's going on?
What means not for me? And the women are just like, fuck it, let's do this, let's take over it. And like, they played the game, they beat the system.
Yeah.
So it's funny how different sexes interpreted the truth in that show. I think she was in True Blood for a couple seasons, and I wasn't crazy about her. But she's a completely different person in Westworld, and definitely worth watching. I don't know if Westworld will get to Game of Thrones levels, but who knows? I know.
Yeah, they're probably banking on it big time, because when Game of Thrones is gone, man, that's probably going to be
the thing. Is
child.
Game of Thrones has literally like decades of like source material to pull from, and they're just making Westworld as they go.
Yeah. Well, they said they want to make Game of Thrones spinoffs, and I don't want that. I want Game of Thrones to be just perfect as it is. Just leave it alone.
Leave that alone. You know. We saw what happens when you make The Hobbit.
And Joey.
Joey.
From Friends.
Yeah, Joey.
I pair those together.
I never saw that.
Not me neither, but no. I heard it was a train wreck.
Later we'll talk about things that we don't like, that everyone likes, because let's just say I'm not a big fan of Friends. So those are my picks this time around. Anything else you want to add to your... I'm sorry's.
No, I feel like weak now because I have apologized too much. But like it's a little refreshing though to like hate on something or not be be upset or disappointed in something, and then they ended up proving you wrong. It's a little bit, like, refreshing, because what if, like, you're right about stuff all the time when it comes to movies. Like, oh, this one sucks and ends up sucking. Or this one's great and ends up being great. It's like, you like curveballs here and there.
Exactly. You like curveballs or fastballs.
Yeah.
You know? What's the song? The Way?
Wonderful. We're going to go back to 90s.
We're going to go back to 90s music, guys.
We could do it all the time.
Soundgarden, Jane's Addiction, Stone Temple Pilots. I can't tell the difference, folks.
I fucking love Stone Temple Pilots.
I can't tell the difference. It's just all the same.
Jane's Addiction is garbage.
Is it just one band with different names? Are you sure?
I am positive.
What does Jane's Addiction play?
They did the Entourage song.
Who has the dog barking song? Because that song fucking annoys me.
That.
Yes. Is that Jane's Addiction? I don't know.
What's that one?
There's a dog barking in it, and it annoys the hell out of me.
Jane's Addiction. That's Jane's Addiction.
Worst song. I think it's the worst song.
They suck. I can't stand them.
That's terrible. Stone Temple Pilots?
I love Stone Temple Pilots. They're great. Don't ever bash on them.
Listen.
Scott Weiland, rest in peace. Good man. But yeah, Stone Temple Pilots. Stone Temple Pilots was... they had a fight for attention because, you know, they had to deal with Nirvana and Soundgarden, Pearl Jam. So Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, yeah, shit. My God. Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. I barely count them as 90s because they came around like in 90 or 96, 97. I barely count them.
No. I mean, Varsity Blues was already, that's. Listen, I don't know 90s music at all. I mean, all I know is Gangster's Paradise. And La Macarena.
You like fastball, though, The Way.
I like fastball, but that's late 90s. That's TRL 90s. I like, you know, semi-sonic.
What about Save Tonight?
Eagle Eye Cherry has a place in my heart.
Fight the Breakup.
But that's not 90s music. We're talking about, like, 90s, you know, all the guys sound the same. And baggy clothes are still in. You know? Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, like crisscross?
No. Just like grungy clothes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was not a fan of the 90s.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, the way I see it is that the grunge era was a response to the 80s hair metal, like Cinderella
totally,
and Poison.
Totally.
And that's why I'll take grunge rock over that 80s.
Yes.
Cinderella,
yes,
Rat,
course.
Poison, garbage.
I don't want party rock. You know, I don't want that. You know, that glam rock shit. At the same time, I don't want to be sad all the time.
That's true.
I don't want to, you know, just contemplate why no one likes me.
There you go.
I know why they don't like me. So what's your recommendation this week?
My recommendation is...
It could be a 90s album if you want.
Oh, music-wise? I don't know. Listen to whatever the fuck you want.
Is Rage Against the Machine considered 90s?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever you want to listen to. I'm trying to think of something. There's nothing really good going on. Jay-Z's new album's decent.
Okay.
But I'm talking about, like, that's new stuff. But I'm so out of the music scene now, it's ridiculous. Movie, TV-wise, I'm not sure what to watch either.
I'm going to go ahead and, again, recommend it. If you can find it, watch Fargo Season 1, 2, or 3. Fuck it, they're all good. But also... I've been dabbling in and out of Blackish. Blackish is really funny.
Is it really?
It's really funny. It's funny. Mm. It's really funny. I think it's a good show. It's funny. It's not always. I don't know. It's just it's relatable.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's.
Well, I got one. Well, if you want to watch, I've only watched two parts of it. If you want to learn about 90s hip hop, which was ridiculously good, is the Defiant Ones.
Yeah, I've heard it's great. I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen two parts of it. There's
really?
Like, I think there's like five parts. I don't know. But
I
want to
watch
really
it.
Good.
I want to watch that one. Yeah.
90s hip hop.
I'm not done with it yet. I'm watching it about, you know, a third in. But if you can watch Pop Star, Never Stop Stopping, it's a funny movie. Never Stop Stopping.
I always heard it's good.
It's funny. If you like The Lonely Island, if you like...
What do you mean you're third of the way? It's not a TV season. It's a movie.
I paused it.
Good Lord, man. It's a movie. Just knock it out. Drink some coffee. Knock it out.
It's funny. And, you know, if you like The Lonely Island, you like funny songs, give it a shot. It's really good. Really good. give those guys a chance. I'm sure they need more money.
Yes.
But yeah, so you can catch us on Twitter. Let us know what you like, what you don't like. At Twitter, it's podcast OTS. Instagram is on.the.screen.podcast. And on Gmail, it's onthescreenspodcast@gmail.com. And my own Twitter is 1-1, O-N-E-D-A-S-H-O-N-E. Anything else that we need to plug?
That's pretty much it. No, that's all we got. We've been talking about opening that Tumblr.
We're gonna working on something for all three of you listening that are not part of the show in any way.
We're gonna work on something hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon, and it'll be out, and you guys can enjoy it. It requires time and effort, and those are the two things I would rather spend: eating pizza or watching a third of a movie.
Yes, pizza sounds good.
All right, but that's it for this week. Jose?
I'm Carlo.
Have a good night.
See ya.